Let's talk about family. God has a plan for families. One of the greatest destructions of the enemy. The Lord spoke it to me this way. I was on a prayer walk one time. And I'm just pondering all the things that are going on. This is back in the early 90s. He said, the biggest guns of the enemy are aimed at marriage. The biggest guns of the enemy are aimed at marriage. I had no clue. I was like, what? I'm thinking of all the things, all the strategies. He goes, no, the enemy's largest guns are aimed at marriage right now. Why? It's the core of family. Family is the core of community. Family is the basics of nations. Nations are made up of families. God is going to move things in nations. God is going to shift entire people groups, and he's going to do it through excellent marriages. Why? They reflect the bridegroom. They reveal the revelation of the bridegroom. Have you ever read in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion? And that was back in the day when religion was a good term. We charismatics have made religion a Christian cuss word. It was a good term, okay? To be religious was a good thing 100 years ago, just so you know, by the cutting-edge radicals, okay? Pure and undefiled religion, that's a good thing, is my point. James 1:27. Widows and orphans. Why? It's the restoration of family. Why? Because God is going to reveal himself as a father to the fatherless, the orphan, and as a husband to the husbandless. That's the widow. The word widow literally means husbandless in the scriptures. Okay? So he's going to reveal himself in these two faces at the end of the age. Ultimately, his entire historic plan is about revealing himself as the father and as the bridegroom. So the cutting edge ministry is to the husbandless and the fatherless and bringing them in, both in the natural and in the spirit. That revelation is so strategic. It's the foundation of the base camp of the church. Okay? Is to reveal the glory that God has when he reveals himself ultimately as the father and the bridegroom. The father and the bridegroom. Are you getting it? Okay. Genesis 8. I'm gonna run us through about 15 verses to get you foundational understandings on family. And I'll give these next week in an outline, but scribble them down now and look them up even now. Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis 8, verse 19, just so you know, the word family and families combined is mentioned in the scripture about 320 times, okay, throughout the Old and New Testament and the New King James Version. I just did a little concordance search. When I start on a topic, I like to just hit how many times, where's this happening, what's the first mention, all of that stuff. And so, family and families, that word is mentioned about 325 times in the scripture. Just so you know, the word love is mentioned 360 times. Okay? I think they're virtual synonyms. Families and love, love is what we get from family. Love, family is the source of love. God has ordained family. Just write that down if you're taking notes. God has ordained family as the source of love. As the source of love. Now, not a lot of families do good at it. In fact, without a redemptive purpose in the revelation of Christ, you can't do well at it. But if you get a heritage, and I'm going to take one of these times and talk about the benefits of family, because the benefits are ridiculously wonderful. They're amazingly wonderful. And so the benefits of family, but families are about love. Okay, Genesis 8:19. Families were ordered by God. Look at this. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Do you know that when God judged the world with population-wise, the most devastating judgment the world will ever see, population-wise, the world will ever see happened with the flood. You know that? Only 8 people survived that one. I mean, the end-time judgments, half the earth, that still leaves 5 billion people. 8 people survived the flood. I love in Genesis, or in Psalm 29, it says, God was enthroned during the flood. God was leading that one during the flood, you know. That's why everybody in heaven shouts glory, you know. That was a harvest time. He harvested 8 out of the earth, spared them and their seed to replant the earth with a family. All that came out of the ark in the most devastating judgment the world has ever seen, all that came out of the ark was family. There was 2 of each animal, male and female. There was Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. There was family. God said, I'm redoing the entire thing, and the seed of it all will be family. The clean and the unclean. The clean, there was 7 of, but the unclean, there was, you know, 7 of each, but the unclean, there was 1 of each. Okay? And then there's 8 human beings. Okay? That had to be, you know, it says at the, I could go off on Noah's Ark. I mean, it was amazing. We've turned it into a flannograph only. That thing is amazing what happened there. You know, it says that the hand of God closed the door on the ark. Noah didn't have a chain to pull the ark shut. You know, it says the hand of God closed that thing. That ark came to rest. It rested on dry ground for 150 days before Noah got out of it. You want to know why? Because the hand of God closed the door. Hey, if I were Noah seeing that, I wouldn't go out. I'm not going out till the hand of God opens the door. You know, till he says, come out. I'm not coming out. He shut the door, destroyed everyone but his little family. I'm not coming out of there until God opens the door. I don't need a chain, a latch, or anything. I'll send the birds out so I know, but I'm not coming out of there. You know, that's where... can you imagine the quiet? I mean, you know how loud life is? Can you imagine how quiet it was when the earth recedes and all those souls were washed into great gaping holes in the earth and are completely gone? They don't exist anymore. They're completely gone in the earth, you know, gone back to dust in the earth. I mean, what a mystery. Somebody should spend hours and hours and hours on the ark. But it was a massive change. And then he reseeds the entire planet with families, with partners. The entire planet is reseeded that way. Do you think God knows about family a little bit and cares about family and has a strategy that's about family in the end? Oh, we've gotten this weird thing in our culture. Don't have too many kids, you know. Wait till you get married. All of these things. Listen, God, strategy is families. That's his strategy for the planet. What's that? Single sisters going, amen, brother, preach it. Guys need to wake up. You single young men. Okay. Here's the point. God's created order as families. Genesis 10, verse 21. I want to give you some other understandings. Genesis 10, verse 21. These are basics on family. And we get a bunch of this in front of us. We're going to go, oh, we're going to spend some time on this in our own understandings, in our own pursuits in the Lord. Because God calls himself a father. He calls himself a father. He says, I'm father. He bases his identity on family. And he reveals himself as a family man. All right. That's good. Okay. Verse 21. And children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. Okay? Japheth or Japheth is the oldest son of Noah. Shem is younger than that. Why do I pull this passage and then look at 31 and 32? These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations. From these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Okay. The word, the name Shem is where we get the term Semite. Okay? It's actually Shemite. Okay? The name Hebrew is, we get that term from Eber. Okay? The Ebers. Okay? Israel comes from Shem. Okay? Hebrews comes from Shem. Okay? Shem is a papa of a line that not just Israel, but Israel comes from. Why is this important? Because God has an eternal plan to name his entire family Israel. God's entire family for eternity is called Israel because God covenants with Abraham. Abraham is of the line of the Hebrews. He's of the line of the Shemites. Okay? One of the sons of Noah. This is important. How do we know this is important? Because we have anti-Semitism. Okay? Anti-Shemitism. What is it resisting? It's resisting the God's desire to bring an eternal plan to all the people of the earth who will say yes, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but you can be adopted into Israel. You can be grafted into a covenant that's eternal, and you won't just live on the earth and then disappear. You'll live eternally. Okay? God had this little plan all the way back in Noah's day. For eternal life. Do you know eternal life came out of the ark? Came out of covenant in the ark. And we'll go through those covenants in this whole dimension of families. But God covenants, and his covenant is about families. Being passed on through families. All right. So, Shem is where we get the term Semite. And Eber is where we get the term Hebrews, okay? Just for your understanding's sake. This is foundational to understanding family and family planning, okay? God has Planned Parenthood, okay? Planned Parenthood, whether you know it or not, is the destruction of parenting, the destruction of a generation. It's a counterfeit of God's Planned Parenthood. God planned and God has parenthood. These are terms stolen from the kingdom. The enemy only counterfeits. He has no creativity in and of himself. He only takes, counterfeits, twists, and perverts the realities. Okay? And we get drawn into twisted, perverted realities because we don't have direct connect. We have it available, but we're not walking in direct connect with the Father. And this family understanding that he has and brings. Okay, so I just threw in the Planned Parenthood thing. That was extra credit. Okay. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. We're not going to, I'm not going to go after the spiritual dimensions. What I want to give you is the natural dimensions of this. God, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your family. Leave your family. And from your father's house. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. To a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation.
I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed.
Now, let's just put ourselves there when God's talking to Abraham. After you heard that, let's say you hear God saying this to Abraham. How many of you would just go, Abraham, could I get in? Would you? I like you, Abraham. You know, God talks to Abraham. Two responses either happen. Either one, you're awestruck by God and by Abraham. Abraham is called the father of that nation and the father of the faith. Okay? A father in the nation and a father of the faith. Because he believes these things from God. And it's given to him as righteousness because he believes. What's that mean? He says yes to the voice and he walks it out. Because of that, Abraham is a father of the faith, and he steps into a family blessing line. How many of you wouldn't mind being a son of Abraham if God said that to your dad? How many of you are going, I wish I were a Jew? Now, here's what happens. If you're not a Jew, you have a natural jealousy against that favor. It's called the curse of Cain on you. You have a natural jealousy because God's going to receive their sacrifice and might not receive yours. And you're going, ew, kill them. That's called anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism comes from God set it up, not blessed it, but he set it up by covenanting with a man and saying his family will be blessed. And because of that, for the rest of the days on the earth, there will be until Christ comes as a Jewish man and resolves the thing, you know, and his father's the judge, you know, and he's a Jewish lawyer, his father's the judge, and he's coming to resolve the thing in the earth because he also happens to be the king and the high priest, okay? How many know the deck is stacked? I mean, this deck is stacked, and the best thing you can do is become friends with the dealer. Okay, I know those are kind of worldly terms, but understand in life, the deck is stacked, get to know the dealer. And you can at least appreciate your hand, even if it doesn't have a whole lot of kings in it. Okay, I don't want to take that too far, we'll be having fun. All right. God says, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth through this man. So you either go, wow. Hey, Abraham, I like you. Or, ew, Abraham, who do you think you are? Something special? Yes, he is. Why? Because in his generation, he was the only one that believed God. Well, I believe God. That's because you have your father Abraham as your example. That's why you believe God. Okay? He was the father. He was the first. He has a predominant place. Jews understand this because it's their papa. They enter in. If we don't understand that we're grafted into Israel, we don't respect Abraham. We have no founding joy in Abraham. We go, oh, he's a Jew, but the Gentiles are in now. We are into the Abrahamic covenant. Are you getting it? Okay. It's good news. Paul's just going, hey, don't boast, guys. Don't boast Jews were cut off so you could come in. He goes, don't boast. If God cut off the natural branches, he can cut off the grafted in branches. Don't boast in this thing. They are not of you and your intelligence and your great faith. You are of them and their great faith and their great revelations from God. You're of them. Because God revealed, they know. Are you getting it? Okay. This is family strategy. See, when you find out you're of the family of Abraham, it's really good news. It's really good news. You can get in on it. You don't have to be jealous and angry. Now, here's the thing. You go to Abraham's relatives in our day, and they might receive you. They might not. They might just look at you as someone less and say, you don't get it. You don't really understand.